on Samach Hayim et Aleph. Just two notes regarding yesterday. First, I had mentioned the issue of Yayin Me'usham, the wine that was smoked, and we said that that's no good for use as a mincha on the Mizbeach. So I pointed out that there are discussions about using that wine for Kiddush and about what bracha to make on it. So Rashi, the Mishnah and Menachos, Parichas Mishnah Vav, actually says that Yayin Me'ushan was sometimes created on purpose. Even though here it sounds like Yayin Me'ushan is a bad thing, and we pointed out the disqualification of it for Kiddush because Akriveu Nala Fechasecha, it's sub-quality, Rashi there says people sometimes did it on purpose to sweeten it. And it will be disqualified because it was sweetened wine, not because it was sub-quality wine. So that's one note that's worth noting. And the other is, we talked about the two different ways to do Malika. So I was looking back at it again. It seems like the first approach to doing Malika has the bird inside the hand, inside your left hand, and then the head pokes out between the thumb and the forefinger. We need a model for Malika. So that the head is coming out here, and then you're using your thumb on your right hand to do the back of the neck. The other approach is that we had said was that the bird is on the outside, facing your hand, you're gripping somehow. I still can't figure out how you're gripping those wings and the legs on a live bird like that. But it's facing the hand, and then you're using your thumb on your other hand to do Malika that way. Those are the two views. Well, I just wanted to catch that because I don't think I stressed yesterday that in the first view the bird is actually inside. But that seems clear to me now. Okay, we are in the Mishnah still at Amar Rabbi Yehuda, about eight lines down. Rabbi Yehuda, Zach Klal, Rabbi Yehuda gives us a new rule regarding the issues of pigul, the thought of the wrong time, the thought of the wrong place. We've talked about this elsewhere. As a matter of fact, one of the Mefarshim I saw actually asked, why in the world is this here? We have this stated a couple of times in Mishnah, but no one answers. They just said, yeah, it's interesting that it appears here again. Rabbi Yehuda, Zach Klal, Rabbi Yehuda says, here is the rule. Im machsheves hazman kadim, machsheves hamako, mepigul v'chayavan olav kares. If, during the course of the avoda, the thought of doing the carbon, of eating it in the wrong time comes first, and then the thought of the wrong place, then it's pigul v'chayavan olav kares, the guy gets kares. Im machsheves hamako, karbon machsheves hazman. But if it's the other way around, the thought of the wrong place, the pasul thought, preceded the pigul thought of the wrong time, pasul v'im bo kares, whichever thought comes first is the one that wins. Whereas v'chachamim omrim v'zeh pasul v'ein bo kares. The chachamim say in either case, as long as you had a thought of chutz l'mkomo, it's now pasul, either because the thought came first or because the thought came later. But either way, we'll say it's kod lo karav hamatir kimitzvaso. The matir was not brought properly. The mefarshim point out, and you see a little note on the side of the page regarding that the Tanakhama already said this. I didn't really need the Chachamim. But they suggest from Tosfos and Menachos that the point is to show that we paskin like this. That's why. So you say, the Chachamim say this. That's the idea. And finally, if I have a thought of chutz l'zmano or chutz l'mekomo for half an olive amount that I'm going to eat and half an olive amount that I'm going to bring on the Mizbeach, those two thoughts do not combine, even though we call the putting something on the Mizbeach, we call achila, the Mizbeach is eating, so to speak. Nonetheless, the two half kazesim do not combine across that. By the way, I'm going to thank Meir for doing the research yesterday in terms of, he got back to me that he had asked some people in terms of depth versus seeing every Rashi, and that some would like to see every Rashi and some would like depth. So we'll try to satisfy both. How did you pull people anonymously? All right, never mind. The Gemara. Gemara comments on the Mishnah. Tanu Rabbanan. I'm sorry, I didn't know that. The Torah says, V'hikrivo, and actually I brought you there on the sheets, a table there along with the psukim, because I thought it might be helpful as we go through the psukim and see the drashos to actually have the psukim there in front of us. The psukim you see are from Olas Ha'of. The drashos are going to be about Olas Ha'of. And the chart is going to go through what we learn from each word within the psukim. I bolded the words that you learn that you use for the drashos. You'll see there under two of the items, the Kohen and the non-Kli for Malika, that there are two different views. We'll see a machlokas between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Akiva. But that might be of some assistance as we go through this. This time I'm going right to left because I'm quoting a pasuk, and so I wanted to use the words of the pasuk in order. But yes, I go back and forth liberally. Don't worry about it. The
it's like our miskana yesterday, left.
Right. Right. Exactly. Sometimes it's left and sometimes it's right. Kasha. Tana Rabbanan. Braisa says, the Torah says, v'hikrivo, he shall bring it, v'hikrivo akoin ala mizbeach. So matam alomar, why did I need to say this? Rashi explains why this is a problem. If you take a look at the top Rashi, ba'olas ha'ov ksiv, it's by olas ha'ov, v'hikrivo akoin ala mizbeach. Matam alomar, why did I need that? Ha'ksiv v'hikriv min ha'tarim. The Pasuk already said, bring from the pigeons, v'lichtov basrei u'malaka kohen esrosh ala mizbeach. Just say, the kohen shall do malika. In other words, if you look at the Sukkim that you have on your sheet, it already said v'yemena ofa la karbono l'Hashem v'yikriv min hatarim. You don't need to say v'yikrivo hakohen la mizbeach. The kohen shall bring it to the mizbeach. So the Gemara asks, ma tamad lomar? What does it teach me? L'fishenemar v'yikriv min hatarim o min b'nei hayona. Because the pasuk already said, bring from the torim or from the b'nei yona, the pigeons or the turtle doves. Yoch, and it used the plural. Yochal hamisnadev of lo yifchos mishnei preidin. I might think that if someone volunteered to bring birds, he should bring no fewer than two individual birds automatically. And in fact, Rashi increases. Does say that. The Griz notes this, Steinman brings it in his Ayelet HaShachar, that Rashi Krisus says a bird carbon by default is assumed to be two birds. So I might have said that should be what we do here. Tamad lomar v'hikrivo. Therefore, the Pasuk says, v'hikrivo, you shall bring it. Afilu preda achas yavi olam izbeach. Even a single bird. Preda, I keep saying as individual, like nifrad. Right, to be separate. Rashi says preidin actually means gozalos, individual doves, pigeons. Matam alamar hakohen. Why does the pasuk now say the hakohen? So we're moving on to our second point within the drashos. Ligba lo kohen, to say that it has to be a kohen who does the malika. Sheyachol valodinu, because I would have made a logical argument. Uma ben tzon shekavalot safon lo kavalot kohen. When you're dealing with shechting animals, where you have to do it in the north, the northern part of the Azara, that makes it more strict automatically. And yet anybody can do shechita; you don't have to be a kohen for that purpose. Oh, shelo kavalot safon in a din shelo yikbalo kohen. The bird carbon that does not need to be in the north, they certainly should not require a kohen. I'm going to come back to this because this is a problematic kal v'chomer, but that's what we're saying right now. Talmud lamar hakohen, the word el, the shita mekubetzes takes out, and that seems to fit our gemara. That's what the word hakohen is there for. Ligbo lo kohen, to tell you, hey, you need a kohen to do this. Yachol yimlekenu b'sakin, I might think you should do your maliko with a knife. V'dinu, and now we make the other argument, the other kal v'chomer. Umayim shchita shlo kavala kohen kavala kli. Shchita does not require a kohen, and yet it does require a kli. Malika shakavala kohen. Malika now appears to be more strict in that I require a kohen. Ein adin shikbala kli. You should also require a kli. Somehow using klei shareis instead of using your finger is assumed by default to be a stricter thing. Rashi says kavala kli for shchita. How do I know you actually need a kli for shchita? Dinaf galan mi vayikaches hamachelis lekaman beidach pirkin. The Gemara later is going to explain it from the by the Akedah. Because really, if you look in the Torah doesn't ever mention the Shechita knife. You don't find the word Chalaf appearing in the Torah. Rashi tells you Chalaf is from Arabic, so I understand, fine. But the Torah doesn't mention a Shechita knife at all. Shechita is called Zvicha, and you're expected to know what that is. But he says we're going to learn it from the Akedah. So how do I know, says the Tanakhama, that you don't need to use a knife when it comes to Malika? Talmud Lomar, HaKohen Umalak. We link the Kohen with the Malika by putting them one after the other there in the Pasuk. The Krivak Kohen HaMizbeach Umalak. To teach me, the Kohen himself physically does the Malika. It's right, it's him. It's not even a Kli that he's using. I didn't get to know. Rabbi Akiva is actually going to disagree. Rabbi Akiva is B'machlokas with a Tanakama. On Kohen Umalak? No, I think Rashi is actually... you're saying Kula Be'akiva Ka'amar Law on that.
Explaining how do you know Kohen Umalak that it's the kohen? It has to be not a knife. How do you know that it's the nail?
Right. Alright, let's work through Rabbi Akiva. Thank you. Am Rabbi Akiva v'chital al daitocha shezar karev legabe mizbeach. Rabbi Akiva says, you think that a zar is going to go on the mizbeach? What was your halamina? Why would you think a zar would go on the mizbeach? Why do you need to tell me kohen? Elamata mulamar kohen shtem malika ba'atzmo shel kohen. So kohen is there to teach me that malika is done by the body of the kohen. Rashi, I see what you're saying, that Rashi seems to indicate on this that it's that kul Rabbi Akiva kamarla, that it's Rabbi Akiva talking the entire time. Others do disagree and suggest that it's actually not, that it's actually a machlokas in how to do it. Rashi is saying, yeah, the Kinnim Mefarash Rabbi Akiva Nachanami. No, he's going with Rashi. That's true. Yeah, right. Oh, the Nakama is like the Mashmoz Hakam. There's no machlokis in terms of the Lamaisa. There's no machlokis about what I do. The question is, how do I get there?
Yeah.
The what the Shita Mekubetzes actually tells you is Kedemefarish Rabbi Akiva Shtemaliga Ba'atzmo Shalko and Rabbi Akiva Milsa the Tanakama Asa LaFarusha. He's explaining what the Tanakama said. Ella the Tanakama is like the Mashmoz Hakoin Mashmatarti. The Tanakama is getting out of Hakoin. Not really. He's getting one out of Hakoin and one out of Hakoheinu Malak. Where in the Shita Mekubetzes Dalad at the bottom of the thin lines, Shtei Malika Ba'atzmo Shalko. Rabbi Akiva is like the Hakohen. Rabbi Akiva takes Hakohen to teach me that the Malika is the body of the Kohen. But I don't need a pasuk to say Kohen exactly. Rabbi Akiva has a different view. I'm sorry, the Shulchan Aruch has a different view than Rashi does, and his view is that Rabbi Akiva is disagreeing with the Tanakama on the method. So if you take a look at the sheet, you see it. According to the Tanakama, Hakohen is used to teach me it's a Kohen. Hakohen Malak is to teach me it's the body of the Kohen. No. Rabbi Akiva says logic dictates that it's a kohen doing the avoda, and the and therefore the word kohen is what I use to non kli, because a zar has no business being on the mizbeach. Correct. That's the idea. This is an extremely problematic kal v'chomer, though, for several reasons. First of all, Tosfos indicates here that this is predicated on the idea that Malika should not require more than Shechita. However, the Dam Zvachim points out that Tosfos in Zvachim earlier, in Yudalad Amud Beis, said that Shechita is an avoda, because Shechita is not an avoda, I should say, because you can do it with chulin. Well, according to that, Malika certainly is an avoda, because you can't do Malika with chulin. Malika is unique to Karbanos, so therefore Malika should require more, and by default, my assumption should be that you need a Kohen for Malika, because it's considered an avoda. That's number one. Number two, the Karen Ora asks, and this was my question when I first read this is on the Mizbeach. You're telling me that we should be stricter by Shechita, because Shechita is Betzafon, right? Whereas Malika is not Betzafon. Malika is on the Mizbeach. So the Karen Ora has a unique suggestion that he offers. He's not really happy with the idea. But he says perhaps the requirement isn't we need this to be on the Mizbeach. The requirement is that I'm going to have to do Hazah on the Mizbeach. So I should do my Malika close to where I'm going to do Hazah. But it's not really a Mizbeach requirement. Per se, for Malika, it's just a convenience issue. That's his suggestion. He's not terribly happy with it. It's not even his own. He quotes it from somebody else. The Taras HaKodesh says, well, you know, what if the Mizbeach is in the north, right? We had the view the Mizbeach is entirely north of the equator, like the diagram there. If it's entirely north, then in fact your Olas HaOf does have to be in the north. Right? And therefore your whole Kavah Chomer throws up and falls apart. So the Ayelet HaShachar of Shteinman offers, maybe the requirement is that the Molek be on the Mizbeach, but the bird doesn't have to be in the north. The person doing the Malika has to be on the Mizbeach, which happens to be in the north. But that's different from a requirement of be in the north part of the room. So these are all just interesting little points that tie into what the Gemara is doing here. But what we've seen is that, number one, you can do an individual bird. Number two, a Kohen has to be the one to do the Malika. And number three, that it's the body of the Kohen, and it's whether I draw it out of logic plus Pasuk or pure Pasuk. Okay. This brings us to where I have five lines up, in the six lines up from where they get wide. On Samachayim at Aleph, Yachol Yim Lekena Bein Milamala Bein Milamata. I might think you could do this whether on the top of the Mizbeach or the lower part of the Mizbeach. It actually wouldn't matter. The Tamad Lomer, Umalak V'Hiktir. The Pasuk says, Umalak V'Hiktir. We're linking the Malika with the Haktara, with putting it on the Mizbeach. Ma Haktara Barosha Mizbeach, Af Malika Barosha Mizbeach. Just like you do the Haktara on top, so too the Malika has to be on top. And when we say on top, Rashi explains, Lamala doesn't mean on the fire. Rashi says, Bein Lamala. Above the chut hasikra that's defining your midpoint on the way up. Umalak, the Gemara continues, the Torah says, Umalak, you shall do the Malika. Mimul Oref, I know, I'm not drawing that from the word, but I know that has to be done on the back of the neck, because that's the definition of Umalak. How do I know that that's actually true? Ata Omer, Mimul Oref, Oeinu Ela Min HaTzavar. Maybe it's the front of the neck, just like we do Shechita from the neck. Rashi says, Min HaGoron, from the throat. Vidino, he says, it's logical. Nemar kan umalak, v'nemar lahalan umalak. We say umalak here, And we say it also regarding chatas ha'ov. We say umalak. Malaholon mimul oref. Just like the chatas, it's done mimul oref, the back of the neck, as the pasuk says, mimul orpo. Right? Afkan mimul oref. So too here, it should be mimul oref, the back of the neck. To which he says, oh, you want to deduce from chatas ha'ov? Well, let's deduce other things then from chatas ha'ov. Imalaholon molek veino mavdil. When you do the chatas ha'ov, you do the malika on the neck, but you don't separate the two simanim. Afkan molek veino mavdil. The same thing should be true then. Here, we should say that you don't separate the two simanim. Talmud lomar umalak vihiktir. No, because we link umalak with vihiktir to tell me that just like for the haktara, when you put it on the mizbeach, you separate the body and the head, so too at malika, you're separating body and head. Ma haktara harosh la'atzmo va'guf la'atzmo, when you do the haktara, the head and the body are separate. Af malika harosh la'atzmo va'guf la'atzmo. The same thing is true for malika, that it's that you separate the body and the head for the olas ha'of. Not the chatas ha'of, just the olas ha'of. So the Gemara says, well, wait a minute. How do you know when it comes to Haktara you're going to put the body and the head separately? Where did that come from? If you see on the sheet, we're moving over towards the left now, in the table, separate at Haktara. Uminayin shaktaras harosh ba'atzmo ba'guf bi'atzmo. Shenemar, the pasuk says, vihiktir oso, singular. Right? Rashi fills you in with the rest of the psukim. Vishisa bichnafa velo yavdil, vihiktir oso. You split the body, you don't separate the body part, the back of the bird, viktir oso, and you bring it up on the fire. So Rashi says, ani yodea mashenemra tchila, right, that's how I know what was said first, umalakas rosho viktir, baktaras harosh. That's how I deduced what we said earlier regarding umalakas rosho viktir, that is talking about putting the head on the mizbeach only, and not putting the body on yet. So they're separate when I do the haktara, so too they're separate when I do the malika. Back in the Gemara, the viktir oso, hare haktaras haguf amura, viktir oso, I'm putting the body up, hamani mekayim viktir amizbecha, why do I then need a separate pasuk to say, put it on the mizbeach? Baktaras harosh hakasav medaber. Basically what he's doing really, it wasn't as clear in Rashi, because there are some changes in the addition, but if you take a look on your sheet at the psukim, you see it explicitly, the Torah actually says viktir twice, right? The umalakas rosho viktir hamizbecha is one, and then in the last pasuk there, v'shisah so b'chnafav lo yavdil viktir oso. So one is for the head, and the other is for the body. Okay. V'nimtza damo. We are in the Gemara. We are on the fifth wide line. V'nimtza damo. You shall squeeze the blood on the mizbeach, the mitzui stage. Kulo. The entire blood is going on it. Rashi says midaloksi v'nimtza midamo. It doesn't say from the blood, it says do the blood. It sounds like the blood entirely. We saw yesterday the Sfas Emes, who says the same rule seems to apply for the Chatas Ha'of, depending on whether you take Rashi or Tosfos here on the page. We may require that for the Chatas Ha'of as well. El kir ha-mizbeach, the pasuk says, you do it to the wall of the mizbeach. Velo al kir ha-kevesh, not on the wall of the ram. Velo al kir ha-echal, not the wall of the room. We saw an extended version of this back yesterday, the same deduction when we dealt with the chatas. Ve-ezezeh, so which part of the wall is this? Zekir ha-elyon, that's the upper part of the wall. Oenu al kir ha-tachton. What did I say? Alright, so the wall is back, correct. Oh, eino ela kira tachta. Maybe it should be the lower part of the wall. Vidinu. After all, it's logical. Ma behema shachata salamala ola salamata. The animal carbon, the chatas is above, the ola is below. And I'm assuming that the ola is treated in a stricter way than a chatas is. That's my default assumption. So if I have a chatas above and the ola below, then when I get to an oaf shachata salamata, even the chatas is below when you're dealing with a bird. Eino din shala salamata. Then isn't it logical that the ola should also be down below? That's the argument that I'd like to make. He says, Tamalomer umalak vihiktir v'nimtza damo. He says, if you look at the order of things that are presented in the pasuk, it doesn't work. The order that's presented in the pasuk is umalak, you do your malika, vihiktir, you put it on the mizbeach, and then v'nimtza damo, you squeeze out the dam. It's very hard to squeeze out the dam of something you've already put in a fire. It's not a good idea. I don't care if you have flame retardant gloves. It's not a good idea to reach in to squeeze out the dam. So what are you expecting here? As the Gemara asks, you really think that's what's happening? That after you do the haktara, then you're going to squeeze out the dam? Rashi says you might think, well, maybe the mitzvah he's talking about from the body. Vim tomer b'mitzvah aguf. If you're going to say, well, maybe he means mitzvah of the body. Lo mekayma damo kulo. Then you won't have nimtza damo because the head's blood will not have been squeezed down. So that can't be. So the Gemara says, Elo lomar loch, ma haktara barosh hamizbeach, av mitzui barosh hamizbeach. What it's saying is, just like haktara is done at the top of the mizbeach, so too the mitzui is. In other words, the order in the pasuk is lav davka. It's not specific. The verbs are brought together only to say all of this is done barosh hamizbeach, and therefore you're doing your mitzui at the top.
How do you do mitzui on a head, which is squeezable?
Well, you're pressing it against the wall of the Mizbeach, so I guess that applies the pressure. Yeah. We could field test this, but yeah, I'm going to take it as a given. Hakeitzad. So the Gemara asks, so how do you do this physically? What happens? Haya ola bekevesh, you would go up the ramp. Ufona lesove, we return to the sove, that lower level. The sove, remember, is right above the chud hasikra. Ubala, we have our model, but I don't know if you can really see it from where we are, but it's there. The Ubala Lekeren Dromis Mizrachis comes to the southeast corner, because this is an Ola. Hayamolek es roshim imul arpo mavdil, he did the Malika, he separated the Simanim, umamatze midama alkira mizbeach, and then he squeezes out the blood on the wall of the mizbeach. Im asa lamata me raglov afilu amak shera. He can do it up to an amma below his feet, and he'll still be on the upper part of the mizbeach. Rashi explains, "Shachut lamatam and asovev amma." The chud asikra is still an amma removed from the sovev. Rav Steinman reads this and says, "I don't understand physically how this happened. He's standing there on the mizbeach, and you're reaching down up to an amma below your feet to squeeze out the dam on the mizbeach. This is quite a trick. Nonetheless, it's technically all right.
More than touching your toes, right?
Yeah, it's well more than touching your toes." And you can't lean on anything. You're standing doing avoda. So this is quite a trick. Im asal lamata me raglav afilu amak shera. Fine. Rabbi Nechemia of Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov omrim kol atzma eina says ela berosh hamizbeach. They say it has to be done berosh hamizbeach. Rashi explains the ba'inan v'iktir v'nimtza damo. The pasuk says v'iktir and v'nimtza damo. So she mitzvi bekir hasamoch l'makom haktara. It has to be close to the place where you do the haktara. Is that any different from what we already said? My benayu, what's the difference? Abaye v'rava, by which we mean what's their debate, as Rashi says. Kolomar b'maykam miflagi, Abaye v'Rava dami travayu osem aracha agabe sovev iga benayu. Abaye and Rava say the difference is in terms of whether you could theoretically make a ma'aracha, make a little bonfire there on the sovev itself. Rashi explains osem aracha l'tanakama. According to the Tanakama, harotz alazas ma'aracha agabe sovev l'haktir osa. Theoretically, the sovev is also a place for the ma'aracha. Hilkach, therefore mitzui shetachas hasovev samuch l'makom haktara. Therefore, if you do mitzui under the sovev, as long as it's above the chud hasikra, it's also okay, right? That's fine. However, if you take the view that they're taking, that Rabbi Nechemia and Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov take, the sovev can't be a place for doing haktara. Therefore, your mitzvah has to actually be further up, close to the real ma'aracha. They're not going to be okay with you doing this below your feet, even if it's above the chud hasikra. That's the machlokas tanoim here. Okay. Bolo leguf. You then come to the body of the bird, and here we get to the issue of mura and notza. I brought you a picture on the page there, just in case anybody else likes to have the visual. You see the bird there, that's a pigeon. The crop and the gizzard. So the crop is the zefek, and I wrote kurvan on the sheet. That's a mistake. You should say kurkavan. I dropped the kuf. But the kurkavan is the gizzard. The crop is the doggy bag for the bird, as I've seen it explained. It's where the bird holds things. And then the gizzard is where it has stones and grit, and it actually grinds up the food. Along the way, between the two, you have something else called the proventriculus, I think. Was what they called it. But the proventriculus is the place where, yes, proventriculus, that's what it is. It secretes acid, like our stomachs do to break down the food. There it's just broken down into two separate areas, one where the acid is secreted, and the other where where the food is physically broken down. I base my identification of crop and gizzard on the Rambam and Chulin in Perek Gimel. Based on his definitions there, this seems to be correct, that the zefek is the crop and the kurkavan is the gizzard. Okay. So we're going to see three different views here about what you're doing with the mura and the notza. Tana Rabbanan, Braisa says, four lines up from the bottom. Ve'isiras mura so benotza sa, the pasuk says, you remove the mura with its notza. Notza we assume to be feathers. So what is the mura? Zu zepek. That is the crop. Yachol yakdir besakin v'itlenu. I might think you could punch in with a knife and just pull out the crop, and that's sufficient. Tamal lomar benotza sa. No, because the pasuk says with the notza. So notel as hanotza ima. You take the feathers along with it. That's the first view, and it sounds like all the feathers. Abba Yosef ben Chanan Omer notes la v'notel kurkivana ima. Abba Yosef ben Chanan says no, you're pulling out the crop and you are pulling out the gizzard along with it. If you take a look at Rashi, notes kurkivana v'notza sa lashon perish v'davar ma'usu. Notza does not mean feathers, according to this. Notza means excrement, something repellent. Kimo kinotsu gamna, he gives you an example from Echa. So notza does not mean feathers, it's actually the crop and the gizzard. Devei Rabbi Yishmael, Tana Benotza Sa. Third view, Benotza Shala. They tell the Yeshiva Rabbi Yishmael, Benotza Sa means its Nosa. As Rashi explains, Velo Yosemi Masha Keneged HaZefek, and no more than the feathers that are opposite to the Zefek. And the way you do it is, Kodra Besakin Kimin Aruba. You actually punch your way in with a knife, like you're making a hole in something, and Aruba is like a skylight, a trap door. And you're pulling it out that way, so you only get the feathers that come out automatically with the crop. Those are three different views. If you take the view that gizzard is coming with it, yes, Rashi tells it to you also on the top of the next page. He continues, Haketza, Koder, Zorosivos, Hazefek, etc. So Koder is being done with a knife. Yes. If you take the view that the gizzard is coming with it, you understand a little better how you could throw this thing 31 amos, because the gizzard has stones in it. So maybe that has a little more heft. Okay. Shisa v'lo hivdil.
Now he's not drawing it out the mouth of the bird, right?
No, it sounds like he's pulling it through the body. Yeah. I think they're all like that. It's laparoscopic, shall we say. Shasa v'lo hivdil. What if you did the shasia, you broke the back, I'm sorry, you're supposed to do the shasia to break the back of it, v'lo hivdil, but you don't separate the body. Tana Rabbanan Braisa says, v'shisa, ein shisa ela biyad. Shisa means by hand, when you break the back of the bird, v'chein after it's, this bird's already dead, so don't feel too bad for it. V'chein u omer v'yishaseyu kishasa hagidi. They bring you the pasuk by Shimshon and the lion. And he breaks his back like it was a little baby goat. Lo hisiras hamura. That quote is not the full quote. You need the v'chulei there. The Gemara now is going to discuss the issue of the chadas ha'of versus the olas ha'of, and doing havdalah, separating the simanim when you shech the chadas ha'of. Our primary concern in the following discussion is that you can't do the avoda of the chadas ha'of in a way that it'll look like the avoda of the olas ha'of. So the question is, let's say I separate the simanim in the neck of the chadas ha'of. Will that make it like the olas ha'of, or is there still a differentiation? And we're going to see three different views, and I gave you the table here, Rav Chisda, Rava, and Abaye, who are going to explain a machlokas between a Tanakam and Rav Elazar Rabbi Shimon. Mas nisin delok Rav Elazar Rabbi Shimon. Our Mishnah, which said, don't do the havdalah when you're dealing with a chatas ha'of, is unlike Rav Elazar Rabbi Shimon. As Rashi says, mas nisin diksani hivdu b'mlikas chatas shemalka b'shnei siman impossible, that is disqualified if you do that regarding the chatas. That is not like Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. Disanya, because the Braisa says, we're on the fourth line, Om Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, Shamati Shemavdilin b'chatas ha'of. I've heard that you are mavdil regarding chatas ha'of. That doesn't really mean you're supposed to. Rashi explains, it's b'di'eved. She'im hivdil lo pasal. If you were mavdil, it wouldn't disqualify it. Mai b'nayu, what's the difference? And again, like the Mai b'nayu on the first side, this isn't a normal Mai b'nayu. It isn't asking what's the difference. We know what the difference is. According to one, it's kosher. According to the other, it's pasal. What he's asking is, what's their machlokas about? What are they really disagreeing about? B'maika miflagi. So Amar Rav Chisda says, Mitzoy chatas ha'of ma'akev ika b'nayu. The debate is regarding mitzoy hadam for the chatas ha'of. This is Rav Chisda's take. We're on the first part of that table. You can see it there. According to the Tanakhama, you have to do mitzoy by both. So if I also do avdala by both, they'll look the same. Whereas according to Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, the Ola requires Mitzui, the Chatas does not require Mitzui. So therefore it's still possible to differentiate between the Chatas and the Ola, even if you do Avdala for both, just differentiate by Mitzui. That's Rosh Chisda. We'll walk through it in the Gemara now. Tanakama Savar Mitzui Chatas Ha'ov Ma'ake. The Tanakama says Mitzui is an absolute requirement. And Rashi spells it out for you. We're getting a little late, so I'm going to jump it. But if you see Rashi Tanakama Savar, he says it. V'kevin de mitzui dam ma'akev, the bachet's in the word ma'akev, ka'avid ma'isa ola b'chatas ha'ov. Since mitzui is a requirement for both, you'll end up doing the ha'ola and the chatas the same way. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon Savar, mitzui chatas ha'ov lo ma'akev. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon says it's not an absolute requirement. U'machatech basar be'almahu. All you're doing then is cutting meat. That's all you're doing. If you want to do Havdalah, you can still do Havdalah without them being considered the same. Rava gives me the second approach. Rava Amar Shehiya B'Simon Sheni Ba'olas Ha'of Ma'akev Ika Benayu. Rava says the question is, what if I pause between the first Simon and the second Simon in doing my Malika? That would be my point of differentiation according to Rabbi Elazar B'Shimon. The Tanakhama says you can pause by both. So again, there's no difference between the two if I do Abdullah by both. Whereas Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon says, you can only pause, you must pause regarding the Chatas, and you are not allowed to pause regarding the Ola. I must pause regarding the Chatas, because he says, when I do the first Simon, I am required to pull out some of the meat also, Ro Basar. So therefore, I'm going to have to pause before I can do the second Simon. So there will be a real difference. Don't point it to your neck while we're doing this. That's the difference between the two. As follows. Tanakama Savar Shehiya B'Simon Sheni Ba'Ola Sa'ov Lo Ma'akev. The Tanakama says that pausing by the Ola Sa'ov is not a deterrent to the quality of your Ola Sa'ov. Even though he pauses, Ka'avid Maisa Ola B'Chatas. He'll end up doing the same thing for the Ola and for the Chatas. Rabbi Elazar B'Shimon Savar Ma'ake. Rabbi Elazar B'Shimon says, no, you're not allowed to do Shehiya for the Ola. V'Kevan D'Shahye, and since he did regarding the Chatas, Machadech Basar Be'almahu, then he ends up he's just cutting meat when he does the Havdalah. These are really two different things. Abaye Omar, Abaye answers with his third approach, Rov Basar Ma'akev Ika Benayu. The debate is actually about Rov Basar Ma'akev, whether I am supposed to also cut the majority of the flesh when I do the first Simon. That's exactly the question. Ubeplugta, the Ubeplugta de Rabbi Zera of Rabbi Shmuel Bar Rav Yitzchak. It's the same thing as the Machlok is Rabbi Zera and Rabbi Shmuel Bar Rav Yitzchak. Chad Amar Shehiya B'Simon Sheni Ba'Ola Sa'ov Ma'akev Ika Beinayu. One says that Shehiya in the second Simon is exactly the debate that between Tanakam and Rabbi Elazar Shimon following Rava's view. The Chad Amar Rov Basar Ma'akev Ika Beinayu. And the other one says no. The debate is about Rov Basar Ma'akev like Abaye said. Okay, those are three possibilities for how I would differentiate between Ola and Chatas per Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon. Michlal de Ba'ina and Rov Basar Batchila. Does that mean that L'chatchila we're saying you are supposed to cut the majority of the flesh along with the first simon? In, yes, Vatanya, I have a brisa like that. Ketzad Molkin Chatas Ha'of, the brisa asks, how do you do your malika on Chatas Ha'of? Chotech Shedra Umafrekes below Rov Basar. You cut through the backbone without cutting through, without pulling most of the flesh. Ad Shemagia Leveshet Olakana, until you get to the Veshet or the Kana, the windpipe or the esophagus. Higia Leveshet Olakana, when you reach, whichever one you reach first, Chotech Simon Echad Orubo. You cut the first one, or its majority, the Rov Basar Imo, and that's when you cut the majority of the flesh. Uba Ola Shnaim Rov Shnaim, and by the Ola you cut both, or the majority of both. End of quote. Amruach Hamed Rabbi Yirmiya. They taught this in front of Rabbi Yirmiya. Omar, he said, Lo Shmiya Lahu. They said, this whole thing, didn't they learn? Had the Amar Bishmua Bar Yakim Mishuma Balazib Bidas Mishuma Balazib and Shemua Omar Hayar Rabbalazar Bishimon. We're tracing this back to Rabbalazar Bishimon, Rabbalazar son of Rabbi Shimon Bayochai. Shamati Bechatas Ha'ov Shemavdilin. I learned that you are Mavdil by the Chatas Ha'ov. You can do it. Why is this even a discussion? Umay Lo Yavdil. What do you mean when you say Lo Yavdil, don't be Mavdil? Ain't it Sarich Lahavdil, that you're not required to do so? That's all we're saying. Like we said regarding the Rambam the other day, right, from the Sfas Emes, the Rambam said it regarding regarding the body of the chatas, that lo yavdil in the Torah means you don't have to be mavdil. Not that it's an absolute rule of you can't. Amalei Rabacha Brei Rava LeRavashi, to finish the thought here, Rabacha Brei Rava says to Ravashi, Ela me'ata gabi bor, dichsiv v'lo yechasenu, hachanami dein tzarech l'chasos. When the Torah says don't, does that really mean that? So that I dig a bor and it says v'lo yechasenu, if I don't cover it, that means that I don't have to cover it? It's really not analogous, but he makes the point. Hachi hashta, to which the Gemara says, no, they're not analogous at all. Here is now. The pasuk by the bor says you have to pay if somebody gets hurt, right? So clearly you have to cover it. But here, the Torah says you shall bring it, meaning this is unique. There's a great Rashi on this, that's very worth seeing. I'm following the first explanation in Rashi, not his Davar Acher. The Hikrivo teaches me this has to be special. We distinguish Chadas Of and Olas Of. Lo Yavdil Lamali. Why does the Torah need to say Lo Yavdil? Shmamina Ein Sarach LaHavdil. Tell me you don't need to. And what Rashi says in his first explanation is, had Lo Yavdil meant you're not allowed to be Mavdil for the Chadas Of, that would have taught me then that for Olas Of I can choose either do it or don't do it. That isn't true. Olas Of, it's a requirement. Right? We already said it's a requirement because you need the head and the body separate. So it must be that for Chatas Ha'ov, Lo Yavdil means it's optional, and therefore for Olas Ha'ov, that means that it's a requirement. It's one stage up from what it is for the Chatas Ha'ov. So that's my approach of Rabbi Yirmiyah, in addition to all the other three approaches, to explain the position that you don't need to do Abdallah, but if you do, it's still kosher.